You know, we have this thought, which is true, that we can pray to God. And that's absolutely true, that we can pray to God and that God hears us. But I'm here to say today that there are those who pray that are on praying ground. And then those are those who just pray.
Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Institute of Biblical Studies, author, and senior pastor. This is Sonia Hall. Thank you for joining us for the first half of How to Get on Praying Grounds. So let's join Dr. Glaze for the first half of How to Get on Praying Grounds.
As we come to this second Sunday of Lent, we look at the Lord's Prayer, but it's so falsely called the Lord's Prayer because it is actually the prayer that Jesus gave to the disciples. This is a prayer that many of us quote at funerals and weddings, and this is the model prayer that was given for not only the disciples, but for us to follow. And you know, I share a story on the 23rd Psalm. I like to take that story on the 23rd Psalm and relate it to the Lord's Prayer about an actor and a preacher. And they were at an event, and the person knew that the actor was there, and he had memorized the 23rd Psalm. He had memorized the Lord's Prayer, and they asked him to repeat and recite the Lord's Prayer. And he recited the Lord's Prayer with eloquence. And when he got done, everybody stood up and started applauding. And then the preacher came up, and he quoted the Lord's Prayer. And when he got done, there wasn't a dry eye in the house. And somebody asked, well, what made the difference? When you recited the Lord's Prayer to the actor, everyone stood up and applauded. But when the old preacher recited the Lord's Prayer, everybody cried. And the actor said, I know the Lord's Prayer, but he knows the Lord of the Lord's Prayer. And as I thought that, you know, I would do this today, and I thank God for the reading of the Lord's Prayer that we had just a minute ago. And truly, it's a powerful translation that we were able to read the Lord's Prayer. And but I know many of us have memorized the Lord's Prayer, and I'm doing this for a reason. So you can probably cite or recite the Lord's Prayer without even looking, without any words. So let's repeat the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. And the reason I did that, again, we had the Lord's Prayer read in our moment, Lenten moment, but I wanted to get us to recite it again and to ask this question. Do you know the Lord's Prayer, or do you know the Lord of the Prayer? Do you know the Lord's Prayer, or do you know the Lord of the Prayer? My message today is titled, How to Get on Praying Ground. How do you get on praying ground? You know, We have this thought, which is true, that we can pray to God. And that's absolutely true, that we can pray to God and that God hears us. But I'm here to say today that there are those who pray that are on praying ground. And then those are those who just pray. And there's a big difference. And I believe that in this, now just think about this. Man, this is deep, right? That here was Jesus from heaven, right? And the God of the universe, the God who's been in the presence of the Father for eternity. And the disciples said, teach us to pray. And this is the prayer that he gives them. You think that this is arbitrary? Do you think this is something that he was just shooting off the cuff? This is a prayer that one who had been in the presence of the Father, who knows how the Father responds, who knows how the Father reacts, this is the prayer of one who would hit it right on the head. And he gives us prayer to let us know how we should pray. And I believe that as we look at the elements that are ingrained in the model prayer for the disciples, I always say this. I know many of you, you know, I got the things that I say, right? Pastor Glaze always says, he always says that. You know, if you want to read the Lord's Prayer, that's in John 17. This is not the Lord's Prayer right here. The Lord's Prayer is in John 17. But when you look at the model prayer that Christ gave to his disciples, there are elements ingrained in it that you can't pray. Wait, let me say, you can pray with your lips, but is your life infused in the prayer that you're praying? Or are you just reciting words? What is praying ground? What is praying ground? Praying ground is knowing that there are no hindrances to your prayers because you are right with God. If you can get down, and we had one of our members, you know, she went to be with the Lord during COVID, Sister Eveline Pendleton, and I remember she always used to say, Pastor Glaze, I get down on my rusty knee. And she was talking about going to the Lord in prayer. And how do you know that when you get down on your rusty knee, and you know, some of you don't, I know, you know, the older we get sometimes, we can't get down on our rusty knees. You know, we might have to get down in our rusty chair or something. But, you know, how do you know? How do you know that when you come to the Lord in prayer, that you are on praying ground? You know, the saints used to say, you know, I'm on praying grounds. Well, what, you know, what did that mean? That meant that when you came to God, that you knew there was nothing that was going to hinder your prayer unto him. I don't know about you, but when I come to the Lord, I want to be on praying ground. And even the psalmist talked about, the psalmist gives us a definition of what it means to be on praying ground. In Psalm 66, 18, the psalmist said, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. That if there's things in your life that are not lining up, now again, God is omniscient, he's omnipotent, he's omnipresent, so he hears you. He can hear everything, but he's not going to hear with the bent to answer your prayer. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. But verily God hath heard me. He hath attended to the voice. Wow, man, this is something. Wow. He hath attended to the voice of my prayer. Blessed be God, which hath not turned away my prayer, nor his mercy from me. Saints, you want to know what it means to be on praying ground? Memorize Psalm 66:18. If that is indicative of your life right there, then you are on praying ground to be able to come to the Lord and get down on your rusty knee and cry out to him. That means that you are on praying ground. One of my favorite preachers of the past, Dr. Adrian Rogers, I was listening to a sermon this past week that he preached on praying ground. Adrian Rogers, he's been he's gone on to be with the Lord many years ago, but he still has a program on TV and on the radio. So even though he's dead, he still speaks from the grave. But I pulled out some quotes that Adrian Rogers gave in this sermon. And three of the quotes especially touched me. And, you know, I would encourage you, you know, that again, as you come to hear sermons, I know there used to be the day when, you know, we come with notepads and, you know, pens and Bibles, and, you know, we take a lot of notes, right? I know some of my old Bibles, you know, I got notes that are written all throughout the Bible, notes, sermon outlines that I heard the preachers preach, notes that I picked up from here or there. But, you know, I think that, you know, we've gotten, and I'm going to raise my hand too. You know, we got our phones now. We got sophisticated, so we don't have to take notes. You know, we can just have our Bible on our phones. And, you know, y'all pretty good because y'all can memorize stuff, right? You don't need to take notes. It just stays with you. And you walk out here and it stays with you. That's not Pastor Glaze. Now, I got to take some notes, man. We had men's fellowship yesterday and I was taking notes while the preacher was preaching. Right? I listen to sermon. I take notes. And so these were three things that Adrian Rogers said that really just pricked my heart. The first thing he said is that your prayer life is no greater than your personal life. I had to stop on that one. Couldn't go much further on that one. Your prayer life is no greater than your personal life. And if your prayer life or your personal life is not lining up with the word of God, then chances are your prayer life is in the same situation. Adrian Rogers said this in his sermon on praying grounds. He said, you can preach. He said, you can sing and you can witness and not be right with God. these things are man to man, but prayer is man to God. What is he saying? In order for you to come to God in prayer, you got to be right with God. You know, again, God hears us. I don't want anybody to think that when you pray that God don't hear you. God hears you. But does he hear you because you're on praying ground? And then Adrian Rogers said, when you backslide, the first thing to go is your prayer life. Oh, can I get a witness? Well, I don't need a witness because I'm a witness. That when my heart has wandered from the Lord, one of the first things to go is a prayer life. And so we are talking about how to get on praying grounds. And as we look at this sermon today, I want to say, before each thing that I share with you, I cannot pray. I cannot pray. First of all, I cannot pray our Father if I have not received Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. John 1:12 says that as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the children of God. The only way that you can call God your Father is if you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. There's a theology that's out. It's called the fog bomb theology. Fog, F-O-G, bomb, B-O-M, fog bomb theology. What is that? Fatherhood of God, brotherhood of man. No such thing. No such thing. God is only Father to those who have received Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior. And when you receive Christ as your Lord and Savior, you can call God your Father. Up until that point, Jesus made it very clear. And that is, you are of your Father. We don't want to, you know, this is hard preaching right here. We don't want to hear this. But Jesus made it very clear to the Pharisees that you are of your father, the devil, right? So, I mean, again, you know, that's not in this seeker-friendly, seeker-sensitive, politically correct world. Those are things that we don't want to say. But the fact of the matter is that the only way that you can pray our Father. So, I go to and do a lot of weddings and a lot of funerals. And I've been to a lot of weddings. I've been to a lot of funerals. And one of the things that they do a lot of times is they recite the Lord's Prayer. And all them folk that's on there that don't know the Lord, but they know his prayer, right? They know the Lord's Prayer. Many people I heard this expression that a lot of people are going to Facebook heaven. And on Facebook, everybody's going to heaven, right? Right? So maybe they got a Facebook father. On Facebook, God is everybody's father, right? But the fact of the matter is that God is only your Father when you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. I cannot pray who art in heaven if my pursuits are after the things of this world. How can I pray our Father who art in heaven? Right? Paul said this. Let me turn it, because this is good. Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. If you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Now watch this. Don't miss this one right here. It says, set your affection on things above and not on things of the earth. How can I pray our Father who art in heaven when my heart is pursuing the things of this world? Amos said that those who pursue the things after the world, they actually pant after dust. Because in the end, and I've shared this with you before, all the things that you work so hard for all your life is going up in smoke and going to become ashes. In the book of Peter, it talks about the fire shall melt all these things with a fervent heat. I told y'all about the when I graduated from college, I bought a Ford Granada. Oh, it was almost brand new. And I'm dating myself too when I say that. But man, that car was my everything. And I kept that car clean, man. I shined it, kept it polished, kept the interior clean, had that black stuff for the wheels, had stuff for the chrome wheels, and put the air freshener in. Oh, man. Then I'd be riding, leaning to the side, riding with one finger. And then the Lord called me to seminary. And when I was in seminary, I was in my house, and all of a sudden I heard, bam! And somebody smashed the side of my car in. And you know, they had insurance. Now, I'm a seminary student, right? And seminary students don't have a lot of money. So instead of getting my car fixed, I spent the money on other more important things, like food and diapers and stuff like that. And the car just kept rusting and falling apart. And I remember I called the tow man to come and get it. I sold it to this wreckage place. And I stood there and watched them jack my car up onto the tow truck. And in my mind, I began to reflect on all those days that I shined that car, that I cleaned that car. And you know what? I stood there with a tear in my eye and watched as that man towed my car away. All the money and energy and time I spent was being towed away. And that's the same thing that's going to happen to the things of this earth. Now, you know, God blesses us with nice things. We need to take care of nice things. We need to thank him for the things that he blesses us with. So I'm not knocking that. I'm just saying, is that where your heart is at? Is that if that's where your heart is, if that's where your drive is, then how can you pray, "Our Father, which art in heaven," when Jesus or Paul said, "Set your affection on things above, not on things of the earth." I cannot pray, "Hallowed be thy name," if I'm not seeking to live a life that is pure and clean. How can I hallow God and say, "Holy be your name," and then live any old kind of way, do any old thing that I want? That if I love God and I see my God as a holy God and I see my God as a hallowed God, then I reverence him, I respect him, I honor him. And that's reflected in my life. That's reflected in my life. Let me read 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 12. "For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayers." Let me read that again. "For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayers." So if his ears are open to their prayers, then what is also implied in that? That they're not open to the people who are unrighteous. Now, you don't have to be a rocket scientist to figure that out. And what he's saying there, that if his eyes are open over the righteous and his ears are open to their prayers, but the face of the Lord is against those that do evil. The face of the Lord is against those that do evil. What does it mean? God doesn't have a face. Right? God is a spirit, so he doesn't have a face. So what, when he says that the face of the Lord is against, what does that mean? That means that his presence is against you, that his forces are against you. I don't know about you, but when I get down on my knees and I pray, I want to know that God is for me. I want to know that God is working with me. I want to be righteous. And how can I pray, "Hallowed be thy name," if I'm not seeking to live a life that's pure and clean? Does that mean I'm not going to slip and fall? Oh, man. I slip and fall all the time. But I get back up and I keep pushing on. And my goal and my desire, even though I slip up, my goal is to do right. My goal is to please God. My goal is to honor God. My goal is to reflect the presence of the Lord. I've had people that have come up to me and said,
"Thank you for joining us today on Encouraged in Jesus." Tune in next time for the conclusion of How to Get on Praying Grounds. If you would like to request an audio copy of today's message, How to Get on Praying Grounds, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request How to Get on Praying Grounds. That's anchoredinjesus.org and request How to Get on Praying Grounds from our series on Lent, or call us at 877-831-5060. Keep in mind, the entire series on Lent is made available by request. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Galaise. Dr. Galaise is the author of 10 books. For more information about these resources and how to order, visit anchoredinjesus.org or call 877-831-5060. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. Now, for Dr. Glaze and our volunteer staff, I'm Sonia Hall, reminding you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.